was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Everybody to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I am your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, and I am joined with Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers. How are you doing tonight, Eric?
Well, I'm doing as well as can be expected. Lori, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. We're going to have some interesting topics, and then we're going to go into educating individuals about the duties and responsibilities, as well as the power of the jury, not just the grand jury, but the jury itself. I think that we need to work on educating individuals. However, there are certain topics I think we need to cover beforehand so that everybody doesn't get into a panic about some of this news that is coming out today. So what I'm going to do on the first situation, a couple of shows ago, I don't remember the exact date that I covered this, but I'm sure the listeners probably do. I had covered the issue with the Washington compost, as Mark Dice would say it, actually the Washington Post. And they did an article, and it was called Russian Propaganda Effort to Help Spread Fake News During the Election, Experts Say. Now, that was the title. So I not only came out about that, I debunked that, as well as many, many, many other independent investigative journalists, as well as many of the blogs that were listed in there. Freedom Outpost was actually listed in the proper not. Washington Post did not do any kind of research on this. So here's the funny. If you go now and search for that specific article, they have altered that article, and this is what it says at the beginning now. Mind you, this was not there then, Eric, so you're going to find this a little bit amusing, especially since people are under the illusion that this is actually a real news site. Now, back in the day, as you know, they used to be very serious news site. they were the ones who broke Whitewater, and of course, you know, that is not the case today. So let me share this amazing situation. This is what they write now at the beginning of that article. They have an editor's note now, and it says, quote, "The Washington Post on November the 24th published a story on the work of four sets of researchers who have examined what they say are Russian propaganda efforts to undermine American democracy and interests. One of them was Prop or Not, a group that insists on public anonymity, which issued a report identifying more than 200 websites that, in its view, wittingly or unwittingly published or echoed Russian propaganda. A number of those sites have objected to being included on Proper Not's list, and some of the sites, as well as others, are not on the list. have publicly challenged the group's methodology and conclusions. The Post, which did not name any of the sites, does not itself vouch for the validity of Prop or Not's findings regarding any individual media outlet, nor did the article purport to do so. Since publication of the Post story, Prop or Not has removed some sites from its list. So I wanted to let you know now, of course, many people know that they are backtracking, and this actually leads into one of the topics we're going to cover before we get into the power and duty of the grand jury and of the jury itself. So why was this important? Because you've got this propaganda being spewed out and copied all over everywhere, whether it be New York Times, yada, yada, a whole bunch of different individual outlets grabbing this stuff from Washington Post and, you know, regurgitating things. So why is this important? Because this has to do with the media psyop operation against the American people. It has to do with, as you know, they're trying to attack Trump's legitimacy, and they're trying to get the electors now to go against the will of the people and not vote on to Trump. So this is why I'm bringing all of this up, because this spewing crud that there is no evidence of, and obviously they're putting out there a bunch of fake news, because I can assure you Freedom Outpost is not any bit Russian affiliated.
Did you hear how that piece was written? Listen carefully to the wording. Russian propaganda against American democracy and interest. Okay, first of all, number one, once again, 101, you know, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to all the people. Your listeners mostly know this, and so do you and I. We are not a democracy. We are a republic, okay? So we do not have this sham where 51% of the people can vote to steal everything or lock up everyone in the other 49%. We're a republic, so the rights of the individual are protected over everything. Without the rights of the individual, society doesn't have any freedom or any standing. So we're not a democracy. And you notice how they combine the word interests. American democracy and interests. I wonder who those interests are. Could that be the corporate officers that own the big blocks of stock, the big block stockholders of the Washington Post, the New York Times, ABC, CNN, the mainstream prostitutes?
Well, and the reason I'm bringing this back up is because it's all going to link into what's actually going on today with the electors. This is why I'm bringing this up, because this is what really started the rampage. They're claiming it was because of the DNC hack, blah, 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 blah. First of all, here is the attention for DNC, RNC, any of them. If you don't want that kind of stuff put out, here is a clue. Don't put that kind of junk in your email. Because the stuff that was exposed in those emails was past the point of disgusting and proved lies and proved the stealing of the DNC from Bernie Sanders and a whole bunch of different things. But I don't want to get off on that realm, because the jury nullification thing is we're going to be covering that. So what happened is, the reason I brought up the propaganda part, okay, is because then, you know, they hear all this junk in the real fake news, which is antique MSM, and this is what the electors are using as an excuse that they allegedly want a briefing with James Clapper. Do you recognize that name, Eric? If not, we're going to remind you. Okay.
Oh, yes, I recognize the name. I do.
So these electors allegedly are requesting a meeting with Mr. James Perjure Myself Clapper in front of congressional hearings, lied straightly in perjury straight to the American people and to Congress about spying and collecting data on every American citizen. If you remember that.
It reminds me of the Eric Holder visit to intimidate, right after Sandy Hook, to intimidate the Connecticut State Police investigators and rank and file to toe the line and don't ask any more questions. And that was a very suspicious event that needed to be looked into. That school did not need to be plowed into the earth to destroy the evidence, i.e. 9/11.
Oh, well, we'll get onto that at a different time. So anyway, what happened is certain factions of the CIA claimed that Russia hacked, okay, in order to help Trump win the victory. And this is their whole reasoning by wanting this CIA meeting with the electors are calling for so that these individuals can see the proof. Now, you have Nancy Pelosi's daughter who's out spewing that she has, they have the solid proof, and she's admitted that she doesn't have any proof. Well, then you have a real situation, okay, because the CIA's claim that Russia hacked to hand Trump the victory was actually rejected by the Director of National Intelligence, okay? And that was a really huge blow, of course, to the CIA factions that are saying this and the individuals who are trying to claim this and make this news as if it is something when in reality it's not. So the Director of National Intelligence, just in case you listeners don't know this, it oversees 17 agencies in the United States intelligence community, including the CIA and the FBI. Three of the ODNI sources have said that the agency does not back the CIA assessment that Russia conducted hacks to help Donald Trump win the presidency. That is definitely a blow to the CIA theory. Democrats love to tout, comes on top of the FBI, not supporting the conclusion either. Democrats are trying to delegitimize Trump's victory with claims that he benefited from hacking by Putin. Clinton's campaign chairman came back from the dead on Monday to bolster the claims, and Trump has called the idea that Russian hacked for his benefit ridiculous, and his team compared it to CIA belief that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. So
Trump didn't need any help. The people were so overwhelmingly the people were so overwhelmingly against the installation of the new dictator Kim Jong Hillary that Trump didn't need help from the Russians or anybody else. Although I would say the American patriots would welcome help from any freedom loving group of people worldwide. That's true.
Personally,
globalism.
Right.
We'll have a global freedom.
If you are exposing corruption, I don't care who it comes from. Okay, but I wanna make a point that the individual that mainstream media is trying to get you to believe as so legitimate, I'm gonna expose that right now. And if you could, Mike, go ahead and get LV4 ready to play. This is Rand Paul speaking about James Clapper, who lied directly in Congress under oath about collecting American citizens' data. And this is what Rand Paul had to say about this. Please play LV4.
In the opening pages of Fahrenheit 451, the protagonist, Guy Montag, asks, "Wasn't there a time when firemen used to put out fires?" They laugh and rebuke him and say, "Everybody knows that firemen start fires." Montag knows this. His father and grandfather had been firemen. It had been his duty for many years to burn books. He knew it was his duty, but this day would be different. Montag arrives on the scene to do his job. But he finds a woman who won't leave. She stands on her porch as they pile the books about her, but she won't leave. Undeterred, Montag proceeds with the other firemen to douse her and her books with kerosene. The woman shouts out and goads them. She is indignant that they would touch her books. She refuses to leave the porch. She says to them, "Play the man, Master Ridley. Today we will light such a candle by God's grace in England that it won't be soon forgotten." They keep dousing her with kerosene, and she says it again, "Play the man, Master Ridley. We will light such a candle." In the book, the reference is lost to the firemen as they simply do their job. The reference is to the 16th century figure Hugh Latimer, who literally became a human candle. He was burned at the stake in 1555 for heresy. His crime, he wanted to promote the idea that the Bible could be translated into English, which the state forbade. In the U.S. today, we're not yet burning people at the stake, nor are we burning books yet. But your government is interested in what you're reading. They're interested in what you say on your phone calls. They're interested in what you write in your emails. Or even if they say they're not interested, they say the Fourth Amendment doesn't protect any of these records. The NSA is collecting the records of every American. A year before Snowden's revelations, before Snowden had his leaks, I had heard that this was happening. I had talked with Ron Wyden, I'd seen some of the releases, and I had heard that they were collecting an unprecedented amount of records. But I wasn't allowed to reveal the number because they say it's a secret. Why the number's a secret, I don't know. So I announced that a gazillion records were being collected because I knew that was a fake number and they can't put me in jail for making up a number. But I wanted to emphasize, by using this fictitious number, a gazillion, I wanted the American public to know that the actual number of communications being collected by the federal government was almost beyond comprehension. Senator Wyden of Oregon has been trying to shed some light on this invasion of our privacy. It's an example of how someone from the left and someone from the right come together for something that's good, for the protection of your privacy. He's on the Intelligence Committee, and he's privy to information that very few congressmen or senators have access to. For over a year before Snowden's revelations, Wyden expressed concern that the government was acting outside the law, but he was constrained by the secrecy laws. Finally, a few months before Snowden's leaks, Wyden called the office of the intelligence director, James Clapper, and he says, "I'm going to ask you in open committee, are you collecting millions of Americans' records without a warrant?" Despite this warning, Clapper comes to Congress and lies. This is a felony, punishable up to 5 years, but you hear nobody talking about it. When this secret surveillance of Americans finally became public, though, no one on the intelligence community was even contrite. Their only regret was that the program was no longer secret. In an almost surreal exchange, a congressman asked the NSA, "Did you think a program of this magnitude could be kept secret from the American people?" The NSA official replied with a slight smile, "Well, we tried." The sheer arrogance of this. They are only sorry that they got caught. Without the Snowden leaks, these spies would still be blindly doing whatever they pleased. Some say it's only records, held anonymously, only rarely accessed. What's your beef? Well, what they rarely mention is that they don't believe any of your records have any Fourth Amendment protection. When they say, "Oh, it's only boring old business records," think of what information is on your Visa bill. From your bill, the government can tell whether you drink, whether you smoke, whether you gamble, what books you read, what magazines you read, whether you see a psychiatrist, what medications you take. There was a recent study by two Stanford graduates. Are we allowed to mention Stanford here? By two Stanford graduates. Look it up. In the last week or two, it was released, showing exactly what can be figured out simply from your boring old phone records. I oppose this abuse of power with every ounce of energy I have. I believe that you have a right to privacy, and it should be protected.
Okay, you can stop. That's good.
So this is the individual that Nancy Pelosi's daughter and the other electors are requesting a meeting with. Let's see what the far left, Young Turks, had to say about Clapper. If you could, please play LV3.
James Clapper is the head of the NSA. He has a little bit of a problem. He'd been asked in front of Congress, "Hey, are you spying in on a lot of Americans? And tens of millions of Americans, hundreds of millions of Americans?" And he said, "No." And it was a famous moment where he's scratching his head, and he's like, "Well, no, I wouldn't say that. Maybe inadvertently, but not really, right?" And he has now acknowledged that that was, quote, clearly erroneous and, quote, the least untruthful statement he could make, thereby admitting, yes, it was untruthful. just happened to be the least untruthful thing I could say because I had intended to lie to you guys from the get-go. Now, that is perjury. It is a crime. Shockingly enough, the Obama administration has not done an international manhunt for James Clapper. So, well, public policy polling decided they were going to ask a question about this. Now, understand, the Progressive Change Campaign Committee and Credo are the ones who commissioned this poll. Now, they are progressive groups. So now they're not in favor of spying, but it's not like they're trying to take down the Obama administration either. So, and I was curious to see which way the liberal states would go and the conservative states would go, because they polled five different states that are all within the spectrum, right? Well, and they asked this question. Edward Snowden revealed that Director of National Intelligence lied to Congress about whether the government was collecting millions of phone and internet records from ordinary Americans. The director has since admitted he did not tell the truth. Do you think the Director of National Intelligence should be prosecuted for perjury? Now, that poll is obviously leading in a certain direction. You have to acknowledge that, right? Talking about how he lied and now he's acknowledged. Now, the reality is he did lie and he has acknowledged it. So what do you think? Should he be put away for perjury? Well, the voters of California that were polled said 54% said yes, should be prosecuted for perjury. How about Hawaii? 58%. Iowa, which is a purple state, 65%. Texas, 68%. Kentucky, 69%. So liberals, moderates, and conservatives agree. James Clapper should be arrested and tried for perjury. Now, I wonder if the Obama administration is going to do that. I wonder if the Republicans in Congress, who are just as pro-establishment, just as pro-spying, are going to demand that Clapper be arrested, that the Russians not take him in, that the Bolivian president make sure that he's not on his plane. My guess is that establishment Republicans and Democrats aren't going to insist on any of that. Even though it is brazen, and he acknowledges that he committed that crime, that nobody will do a damn thing about it. Even though, as this poll indicates, and remember, public policy polling came in number one for most accurate poll in the 2012 elections. Even though majority of Americans, according to this poll, say yes, actually prosecute him for perjury. Now, for our politicians to actually listen to us, that would mean that we were living in a democracy. But as we all know, unfortunately, that is not the case. The government will protect itself. The powerful will go after the people who challenge them and never go after the people who are on their side. And we will not have any justice in this case. But at least now you know the American people do want that justice.
So this is a group that really has been caught in a lot of their propaganda and stuff like that. Now, why am I playing this for it to be so important? If anybody truly believes Russia's behind this, there's really a problem. And the reason I say that is several different reasons. However, I'm going to play a clip that I think everybody should be aware of, because guarantee you're not hearing this on CNN. Maybe they should be looking a little bit closer to home on Georgia, because according to a report out of WSB TV News, it says the Georgia Secretary of State's office now confirms 10 separate cyber attacks on its network were all traced back to, are you ready for it, Eric, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security addresses. In an exclusive interview.
Not the Department of Homeland Gestapo. They're just a bunch of good guys trying to protect us from the bad guys. Come on.
Right. And it says in an exclusive interview, visibly frustrated Secretary of State Brian Kemp confirmed the attacks of different levels on his agency's network over the last 10 months. He says they all traced back to the Department of Homeland Security internet provider addresses, that they were being told something, that they think that they had figured it out, yet nobody's really showed us how this happened, Kemp said, and we need to know. Kemp did tell Channel 2's Aaron Dammit that his office's cybersecurity vendor discovered the additional so-called vulnerability scans to his network's firewall after massive mid-November cyber attack triggered an internal investigation. And on that note, would you please play LV2 Mike?
Everyone, I'm Jovita Moore.
I'm Justin Farmer. The Georgia Secretary of State's office now confirms 10 separate cyber attacks on its network, all traced back to DHS addresses. Investigative reporter Aaron Diamond's been following new developments since he broke this story last week. And Aaron, you talked with a frustrated Georgia Secretary of State here within the past 90 minutes.
Yeah, Justin, think about it like this. Say somebody shows up at your back door and tries to knock it in with a battering ram out of the blue. Now, the door holds up, but it definitely makes you take a much closer look at who's been quietly knocking over the last few months. And then it turns out it's someone you'd least expect. Well, that's exactly what Georgia's Secretary of State's office is dealing with.
We need to know.
In an exclusive interview, a visibly frustrated Georgia Secretary of State Brian Kemp confirmed 10 separate cyber attacks of different levels on his agency's network over the last 10 months that all traced back to United States Department of Homeland Security IP addresses.
We're being told something that they think they haven't figured out, yet nobody's really shown us how this happened.
Kemp told us his office's cybersecurity vendor discovered the additional so-called vulnerability scans to his network's firewall after a massive mid-November cyber attack triggered an internal investigation. The Secretary of State's office manages Georgia's elections, and most concerning for Kemp about the newly discovered scans, the timing. The first one on February 2nd happened the day after Georgia's voter registration deadline. The next one just days before the SEC primary. Another in May, the day before the general primary, plus two in November, the day before and the day of the presidential election.
It makes you wonder if somebody was trying to prove a point.
Last week, DHS confirmed the large November 15th hack traced back to a U.S. Customs and Border Protection internet gateway. But Kemp says DHS's story about its source keeps changing.
First, it was an employee in Corpus Christi. Now it's a contractor in Georgia.
And unsatisfied with the response he got from DHS Secretary Jay Johnson this week, Kemp fired off this letter Wednesday to loop in President-elect Donald Trump.
We just need to ask the new administration to take a look at this and make sure that we get the truth. The people of Georgia are deserving to know that and really demanding it.
Now, Kemp says several other scans came around the same time he testified before Congress about his opposition to a federal plan to classify election systems as critical infrastructure like power plants and financial systems. Kemp believes Georgia's election systems, state election systems, are already secure and doesn't want the feds involved. DHS did not return our email seeking comment. We're live in downtown Atlanta at the state capitol. Aaron Diamond, Channel 2 Action News.
Now, I know you're shocked, everybody. I know you're shocked that all of this is leading back to the Department of Homeland Security. This Russia hype is in order to be able to try to overthrow what is going on. It is also being reported by the New York Post that electors are being harassed, threatened in a bid to stop Trump. We'll discuss that right after a word from network sponsors. Please stay with us, and we'll talk to you on the other side of the break.
Welcome to the place. Welcome to the place of the left's hypocrisy.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Radio, broadcast on RBN. I am your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, and we are joined with Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers. And we are just getting out there some information about the propaganda with the Russian propaganda from the Washington Post, which they had to retract a lot of that information because I believe they were going to be facing libel lawsuits, to be honest with you, and how it ties into the pressure on the electors and how it ties into how anyone would believe anything that James Clapper, who perjured himself in front of millions of people in front of Congress, could actually buy into this. This is what I would call, personally, my opinion. This is what I would call a false flag psyop in order to try to steal the election, because Lord knows, you know, they don't want you to have more jobs coming into the United States of America and being created. They don't want the big bureaucratic federal government out of your pockets. They don't want you to be able to be independent and free from their ever growing control over we the people. So what I was discussing before the break, so it is also being reported that electors are being harassed and threatened in a bid to stop them from voting for Trump. That's reported by the New York Post. And what it says in there, I'm not going to read the entire article. It says that around the country, they are being harassed with a barrage of emails, phone calls, and letters, even death threats, in an effort to block Donald Trump from being voted in as president by the Electoral College on Monday. The bullying is overwhelming. Sharon, I hope I say her last name correctly, Guises Tech Devices, but not her resolve to support Trump. The Mesa, Arizona grandmother woke up Wednesday morning to more than 1,500 emails demanding that she not carry out her legal duty to vote for the president-elect. They just keep coming and coming, Guys told the Post, estimating that she has received more than 50,000 emails since the election, and they are overpowering my iPad. Her answer? Mass delete.
Okay, let me interject here, Lori. I want to throw something in here, a very important point. When you hear things like this that indicate some kind of mass, rebellion against Trump, so to speak, I'd like to share with you, hang on one second. Mm-hmm. I'd like to share with you something that I heard when I was on hold with one of the administrators at Monroe Community College in upstate New York. This is near Rochester. And the Department of Homeland Gestapo office in this area is not at the federal building. It's not downtown near all the other federal offices. It's on the campus of Monroe Community College, and the building sits right there on the corner. It can be seen as you get on 390 North, I believe, right at Brighton Henrietta Town Line Road near MCC College. It's on their campus. It's not next to it or off. It's on the campus. So I called a few years back to, kind of get their comment on, what's going on here, seeing that the Department of Homeland Gestapo was set up by Yevgeny Primakov, former Russian intelligence officer, director of KGB, I believe, and Marcus Wolf, the former director of the East German Stasi, who was just as bad, if not worse, than the Nazis, and actually hired many former SS people to fill the ranks of the East German Stasi after World War II, when Germany went into a divided East and West situation. So while I was on hold, waiting for one of the administrators, I heard the following recording. This was kind of, instead of having music while you're on hold, I heard the following voice say, Monroe Community College's Department of Homeland Security program supplies undergraduate students to over 265 government agencies and over 325 private corporations. You add that up, it comes, what, up to almost 600. Now, imagine, this is one college, one program, supplying trolls and, undergraduate students to that. What we're talking about 500 or 600 government and corporate agencies. What they are specifically doing is filling the email boxes of people like the woman you just mentioned, saying you better not vote for Trump, this, that, and the third. Most of which you see is highly, highly staged. And I just want to throw in one other comment on the Young Turk, on the thing with the Turks there. Mr. Turkey, right at the end, said something very telling. Now, he gave you a bunch of truth and sounded like he was giving us a news report that would actually be somewhat accurate. And at the very end, he said, mainstream Democrats and mainstream Republicans, are behind this and they don't want change. So there will not be. And he said it very firmly. This is how you know it's an intelligence operation and a CIA civilian asset. Right at the end, he threw in the caveat. So there will not be, there won't be any justice in this, but the American people do want it. Now, how can he be so sure if the American people are wanting it and demand it enough, there will be justice? See, he could have said the following statement. He said, well, the American people clearly want justice in this matter. So if they're active enough and scream enough, we will get justice. He said, no, there will not be any justice in this, but at least we know the American people want it. So he's pre-programming people to kind of accept the fact that you may want it really bad. A lot of people may want it really bad, and justice, that is, but you're not going to get it no matter what, because the powers that be won't let it happen. And that's how you know he works for the enemy. No matter how much 85% truth he gave you in that piece, it's very deceitful.
Well, and he's been busted. They've been busted before telling straight out lies when it came to Sugar Pine Mine and the different things.
Right, so you're going to see a lot of Johnny come lately.
Right.
Yeah, and you're going to see a lot of reports like that from people trying to look like they're joining the real media, which is us. and trying to come on board and, you know, say, well, you know, we're going to sound like the people at RBN and some of the other networks that are trying to broadcast the truth. But you're just, we know who they are.
Well, let me tell you about this lady, because I want to give her such a kudos. She's truly, I call her the accidental patriot. That's what I call her. It states in the report, it says, despite the avalanche, she said her decision to back Trump is stronger than ever. Quote, obviously their minds are made up and they're not going to change. I'm not either, the soft-spoken guy said. Reports of GOP electors being badgered have been reported in numerous states, including Georgia, Idaho, Tennessee, Arizona, Utah, and Michigan. And like Guy's, Republican Patricia Allen of Tennessee told the Post that she's been bombarded with 2,000 emails, 120 letters, and 5 phone calls, all urging her to switch her vote against Trump. But Allen, 74 years old, said that despite the siege, she's not budging. So I want to say kudos to these ladies, the elderly, God bless them, that don't bend to this MoveOn.org George Soros type threatening and tactic. Even Harvard University, it says she's been solicited by a Harvard University group backed by constitutional law professor Lawrence Lessig, who offered free legal aid to electors who would change their vote. I know everybody is really shocked about that. So here is something that I wanted to share with everybody, and then we're going to get into the importance of understanding your rights for the jury, jury nullification, grand jury, and the such. So Tucker Carlson faced off with Robert McFeen for saying in a recent online post that there is substantial evidence that Russia essentially stole the election for Donald Trump. Now, McFeen said that the emails clearly hurt public perceptions of Hillary Clinton, but Carlson pressed him for specific proof on how, and you've got to hear this. I have to give a kudos, and normally I don't, to any type of mainstream media individual, but I have to give it to Tucker. He did a phenomenal job, and I believe our listeners really deserve to hear this. Tucker's, if you would please, cool. Mike, play that clip.
More correctly, we have lost a war with Russia without a battle. We are no longer a sovereign nation. We are no longer a democracy. We are no longer a free people. We are the victims of a bloodless coup, so far a bloodless coup, engineered by Russia with, at best, the traitorous indifference of the Republican Party and Donald John Trump, a man who, to borrow a phrase from another December long ago, will live in infamy. Is that intense enough for you? Well, if anything, our next guest thinks that might be understated. Robert McElveen is a professor of history at Millsaps College, a columnist also at the Washington, at the Huffington Post, rather, and he's been writing a lot about Russia in recent days, and he joins us now. Professor, thanks for coming on.
So, glad to be with you.
I want to quote something you wrote just a couple days ago that I read in the Huffington Post. You say, and I'm quoting, there is substantial evidence that Russia stole the election for Donald Trump. What is that evidence that they stole the election?
Well, first of all, I do not go beyond Keith Olbermann. In fact, a lot of that is certainly hyperbole. But when people say that whatever Russia did clearly didn't affect the election, that's ridiculous. We hardly ever hear mentioned in the media that Hillary Clinton won by 2.8 million votes in the real vote. The three states that put Trump over the top in the Electoral College was by a total of a little over 80,000 votes. And if anyone thinks that what the Russians were doing in terms of the emails that were released through WikiLeaks intended to damage Hillary, and they obviously did to a great extent, were not enough to get 80,000 votes moved in the direction of Trump away from Hillary, I don't know what they're thinking. Obviously, that's
okay. Well, but hold on. I want to get back to what you wrote. You wrote something very specific. I'm going to read it to you again in case you don't remember writing it. There is substantial evidence that Russia stole the election for Donald Trump. I'm not contesting it was a close election. I'm of course familiar with the numbers. How did Russia steal the election? Please be precise.
the way I just said, by doing things that were intended to help him and to hurt Hillary Clinton. I don't think initially that was what the Russians were expecting to happen. They thought, like almost everyone else, including Trump himself, that Hillary would win the election. They were trying to damage her, make it closer, make her weaker. But as it got closer to the end, they saw the possibility of him winning.
But hold on, exactly, I don't want to interrupt you, and I don't want to talk over each other, but you're saying, how would you know what the Russians think? Do you have special access to the thinking of Vladimir Putin? How would you know that? And again, for the third time, how did they steal the election? You said they stole the election, and I'm open-minded, but I want to know how they did that specifically.
Well, I think I've just told you twice, and I know you like to argue, but what I'm trying to get at here is the fact that the Russians are going to have enormous influence in a Trump administration, and this is not something that should only bother Democrats or liberals. It's an American issue. It's a patriotic issue.
Okay, but hold on. I'm sorry. You wrote, you're a college professor. You have a real job. You wrote on one of the biggest websites in the world, the Huffington Post, that they stole the election. Now I'm quoting, the survival of the American Republic is at stake. We have only 10 days to save the Republic from a hostile takeover by billionaire oligarchs and their Russian backers. I want to know how this happened. How specifically did they influence the election? By releasing these emails? Do you have evidence that these emails swayed the election results? If so, what is that evidence? I mean, you made all these claims.
Are you seriously suggesting that the emails did not have an influence on the election? I mean, everyone knows that.
But how does everyone? I mean, everyone. Let's say
Trump would say they didn't. He's the one.
So your position is we just know.
Go ahead and release them.
Come on, you're making specific claims. You say they stole the election, and I'm not misquoting you. You wrote that like 3 days ago. And I'm asking you how, and you won't answer, and you're instead saying it was a very close election.
I have answered it repeatedly. What I would like to, instead of getting into an argument over that,
why everyone
in the country is not seriously upset, not only about the Russian intervention in the election, but the fact that the National Security Advisor is very close to Putin.
Okay,
the incoming Secretary of State is very close to Putin.
Look,
Mr. Trump,
we're going to be debating that for the rest of the show.
Continued to talk about Putin in the most glowing terms. This is crazy. I mean,
let me ask you, I'm sorry, in the other direction. If it was on the other side,
what people you would be saying, what you'd be saying if Hillary Clinton.
I would say the same thing, and I don't want to keep talking
Russian
over you.
Russian favorable people into the government.
Okay. I have to say, I would ask the exact same question, which is, if you're going to claim that a foreign government influenced the outcome of elections in this country, be very specific about how they did it. Do you think they altered the count from the voting machines? Do you think a specific piece of propaganda...
evidence of that.
Tell me your evidence. You're making me frustrated.
What we know they did was to put out the emails. Please just hear my question. And incidentally, if you let me talk for just a moment, it's interesting that Mr. Trump focused in on the claim that was in one of the news stories over the weekend that the RNC was also hacked and insisted that wasn't true. Well, let's think about why he would want to insist that.
Okay,
because
I have you on to offer evidence to support something that you wrote, and I'm giving you airtime in front of a lot of people.
And I have offered you the evidence.
No, you haven't.
That. What I would like to do is talk about why you and every other American should be concerned about an American government beholden to Vladimir Putin.
And you are literally the last guest I'm going to ask this of, because I've asked it for the last 5 days. Not one person has answered. Name one email or one piece of information that was false that got into the media bloodstream in America that you think was sufficient to influence the election for Donald Trump. Just name one.
Did I say that they were false? No, I didn't say they were false.
Then name a real one and show some evidence that it influenced voter behavior.
For the express purpose of helping Trump.
But name one piece of information from WikiLeaks that you can show influenced voter behavior on a scale sufficient to pull the election for Trump. You can't.
Remember, we just talked about a moment ago, a scale sufficient. If you look at the total vote, the number of votes that gave Trump a lead.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. You were saying irresponsible things that are misleading people, and I think it's wrong.
The entire electorate.
Robert, I'm cutting you off because I gave you a chance, and you refused to be real with me, and I'm sorry about that. Thanks for joining us.
I'm sorry.
Excellent job, Tucker Carlson.
The guy, it's called The Art of Lying. The guest, first he came on, and Tucker asked him a very direct question. Offer your specific evidence. He just said, prove it. And the guy said, well, first let me say that this has been something that we've been talking about for quite a long time. And as things developed, we really did finally realize that the effect, and nowhere in there was there any answer to the question. And then the next two times Tucker asked the question, the guy said, "Oh, I just answered it." It's, you know what,
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah, it's deflection, it's propaganda. Once again, it's exposing, this time Huffington Post for their fake news. Julian Assange has already said many times that Russia is not part of the leaks. We suspect, we don't have proof, but we have suspect that the DNC individual that was murdered, we have suspicions that he may have been part of the leaks because he was over election fraud and things like that. I believe his name was Seth Rich. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that that was his name. I'm going off the top of my head. So if I get that name wrong, anybody who wants to call in and correct me, feel free. So I would say that in my personal opinion, this is propaganda sent out by, of course, the elitists that are in the large government in order to try to overthrow the elections, including in the CIA, that notoriously they're going to the one on that is notorious for perjuring himself. The Georgia Secretary of State exposed that cyber attacks were linked back to the Department of Homeland Security. In their area in Georgia, the electors are getting threatened, and all of this is in order to try to steal the election. So I'm going to cover one more thing before we get to our main topic. I'm going to cover, if anybody remembers, there over there in New York, and you should remember this one, Eric, there was a Muslim girl. This was after, you know, Trump was elected, and this Muslim girl, she was 18 years old. I'm not going to give her name because I'm not going to give her the fame. And what happened was, she claimed that these that individuals had three white men, Trump supporters, had attacked her. And she had a one heck of an elaborate story, and come to find out, I know you're going to be shocked, everybody, but this again was proven to be another hoax. Apparently, the 18-year-old Muslim college student who claimed that she was attacked by Trump supporters was completely fabricated. It was predicted by Pamela Geller in a WND column on Tuesday, and now the woman has been arrested and is being charged with filing a false report. Yasmin is her first name. I'm not giving her last name. A New York Muslim girl claimed three men screamed Donald Trump while attacking her. She said that they called her a terrorist and tried to rip off her hijab on the Manhattan subway platform on December the 1st. Yasmin had numerous opportunities to admit the incident never happened, but again and again stood by her story. And a police source said that the New York Daily News reported, quote, on Wednesday, after again being confronted with questions from detectives increasingly suspicious of her story, she recanted and said she made it all up, citing family problems. In her Tuesday column,
there's a gazillion video cameras down there doing surveillance on all of us. I mean, how far did you think the lie would get?
Right, and that's what it came back to. There was no video or audio or proof like that in order to back up her claims. And then when she admitted to lying, she admitted that it was because she had been out drinking and didn't want her strict Muslim father to find out. And thus, she did it to cover up for her being out drinking. And so that's a two-stage issue. If you want to talk about why she lied, of course, that's what her attorney is going after. I'm not going to play a clip of it, but you can look it up. It's pretty easy to find. But
it reminds me of the supposed Muslims who attacked us on 9/11. They were out partying at strip clubs. Yeah, it's real Islamic behavior there.
And the thing is, too, the defense attorney for her is saying that the reason, you know, she did it was she did break the law. Yes, she did do a false police report. By the way, that's called perjury. but the thing is allegedly it was because she was so terrified of going back to her father and letting him know. And other reports are saying that her head has now been shaved by her father. Now, I don't know how accurate those reports are, because, you know, you can't believe everything you read, especially out of antique MSM. But the point of the matter is, no matter what, it was wrong. She pinned it on three white guys that didn't exist, Trump supporters. So she's getting Trump supporters to be targeted. She's getting white men to be targeted, all because they're allegedly racist and hateful and this, that, and the other. And it's all just because she went out drinking and she was terrified of daddy. Now, other people need to ask her, why are you so terrified of daddy? You're 18 years old. You're an adult. Why are you so terrified of your dad? Could it be the beliefs? Possibly. But anyway, on that note, I am going to stop with that conversation as far as my thoughts on the matter. Do you have any other thoughts you want to talk about on that before we get to our next topic that's going to actually lead into educating people on jury nullification and the duties and responsibilities of the jury?
Yeah, it's the piece with Tucker Carlson and his guest there really illustrates the infantile mind of the enemy. It was like a little kid trying to tell his parents, you know, after he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar before dinner, you know, no, I mean, the denial and the absolute pathetic childlike, and I don't mean childlike, you know, there's good points to being childlike and there's bad points. And when you're an adult destroying your nation and other people's lives, it's not good to be childlike on Tucker Carlson's show. But it was very infantile and very childlike, the behavior and the mentality and the mindset. It's just so low. There wasn't any even advanced type of lying in there. It was just pathetically childlike. And it really does show that the enemy is dwindling down to a bunch of mental midgets and moral midgets who,
they can't even make their own case. Yeah, it's because I said so. You must believe me. I do not have to have any proof because I can't give you any proof.
Right.
And, you know, they've tried this throughout the whole thing. I laughed so hard, and I actually felt pretty good when that proper not targeted Freedom Outpost, because that tells me that we're doing what is right and we're exposing truth on a massive level. Otherwise, they wouldn't have targeted us. So I felt pretty good about that. I'm doing something right. So I did a big part of the show. I believe it was last week. I don't remember the date that I did it on that, and it was pretty funny. So what we're going to do, we're going to hear a couple of words from network sponsors, and then we'll be back after the break. We will talk about the jury's duties and responsibilities and jury nullification. Hang with us.
Time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program.
Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get 2. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.